Well, hello, everybody. It's your five favorite time of the week. Another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett. It looks like are you sitting on a couch with your computer and your notes to the side of you?
Yes.
It's a very, like, unusual angle.
Yes. I'm actually sitting on the couch. I have my iPad propped up with pillows, and then I have my notebook here.
Yeah, it looks like you're, like, posing for a calendar.
You look like Rose in Titanic when Jack is drawing her.
That's awesome.
And part of the reason why I'm in this part of... Because for you listeners who don't know, I'm in a fairly new apartment. And so I have office space for myself. But what I discovered is, much like Kurt's experience at his mother's house, my internet does not work well in my office space. It works better while I'm closer to the box, which is in my living room. So that's why I'm like this. And I didn't feel like holding up. I record on an iPad, and I didn't feel like holding the iPad the entire time, and so that's why I propped it like this.
No, it looks good.
Okay.
By the way, hello, Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Jason Bowers, and hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
Hello.
Well, I didn't mean to derail things by talking about Les's unusual body positioning right out of the gate.
Well, that pretty much gives you an indication of how this episode is going to go. We're just derailed from the beginning.
Well, you guys, we're in 2020. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Wow.
Happy New Year.
It's a whole new year. We can now say, welcome to 2020, mm-hmm. like Barbara Walters. But yes, it's a new year, new movies, mm-hmm. you know, we survived the holidays. Did you guys go anywhere?
I stayed in LA the whole time. I was working a lot.
I went to South Jersey, and then I was learning lines because I did a show the first week of January. So I had to learn all my lines, and I did the show, and I'm all done.
So you're, like, learning lines through the holidays?
Well, yeah. The show opened on January 7th, so I was learning them through, like, the Christmas week and then New Year's week.
Wow. Yeah. I went to England because my husband is British, so I went to England to spend the holidays with my in-laws, and it was pretty good. I like Christmas in the UK, you know.
It's very pretty.
It's very pretty, and unlike here in the U.S., where you basically some people celebrate Christmas Eve, but you get Christmas Eve and Christmas. In the UK, you get 3 days because you get Christmas Eve, 24th. Christmas the 25th and Boxing Day the 26th.
Oh.
So like Christmas Eve and Christmas are for your family, and then Boxing Day is for like your friends. So it's a lot of fun. I was there for a week. And now I'm back. And now we're back.
We are.
And we're back doing this podcast. And I guess since we are back after being away for a few weeks, I think we have a lot of news to talk about, right?
And now, the Black Channel Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Wait, what is that?
I don't know. We've got brand new, we have new levels of sound quality in 2020 here.
I like it.
Did you notice I didn't do that one live?
Oh, that was recorded? Oh, I didn't see because I was looking at my... Oh, wow.
And now, the Black China Report.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
Sounds like it was recorded, like you had your face in a toilet bowl and recorded that.
We're getting it together in 2020.
I literally did that right before we recorded today. I was like, oh, I want to pre-record this.
All right, here we go. This is from Us Weekly, January 15th. Rob Kardashian filed a new request with a court against his ex-fiancée, Blac Chyna, regarding the custody and visitation agreement for their daughter, Dream. The filing comes 4 days after an L.A. judge denied the 32-year-old Arthur George sock designer's initial petition. I don't know what that means. In confidential legal documents viewed by Us Weekly, Kardashian again requested on January 7th for the judge to have Chyna, 31, drug tested no less than 30 minutes before each visit with her 3-year-old daughter and have an agency provide the results immediately. Kardashian has stated that he would cover the drug analysis costs but would suspend all visits with Dream if Chyna fails a test. All right, now here's where it gets good. Kardashian noted that he was incredibly concerned about Dream's safety under Chyna's care and accused his former Rob and Chyna co-star of various actions. Dream has twice been in the arms of a nanny while petitioner is attacking the nanny. Among other things, petitioner has left Dream stuck in a room for hours while petitioner, 10 to 15 feet away, drinks and uses drugs with strangers she met on the internet. Wow. Petitioner, who's Blac Chyna, has threatened people in the house with knives, threw things at people, left alcohol in Dream's reach, and tried to burn the house down, he alleged, also accusing Chyna's actions of causing emotional and behavioral changes in Dream, such as having poor hygiene and acting out sexual positions that she said her mom taught her.
What the hell?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. I guess it's not funny.
I mean, I guess it's funny if it's not true.
Right. Well, Wendy Williams weighed in on that.
Of course she did.
And Wendy Williams, who is friends with Blac Chyna, Wendy Williams doesn't believe it. And she even said that she put in a call to Blac Chyna.
Ooh.
But, yeah, she put in a call to Blac Chyna. But the part that gets me is I'm wondering how did she try to burn the house down and why?
I don't know. She may have tried it like the people in this movie we're going to talk about did.
Wow. Well,
she may have hired a killer contractor.
She was pulling a Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Right. But then Lisa Left Eye Lopez, though, was trying to burn down her boyfriend's
true.
House.
She was mad.
Yeah, but it sounds like he makes it sound like Blac Chyna was trying to burn down her own house.
Insurance fraud, maybe?
She may have been making cookies or something like that and burn them, and he just assumed that she's trying to burn down the house.
Wow.
Hey, Lisa Left Eye, she actually did burn a house down, didn't she?
She did, yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah.
She succeeded.
She went to court. Didn't she go to jail? Or there were charges pressed. She got in trouble.
I feel like she died. Didn't do any real time.
Yeah. Because I remember she got in trouble, and I remember she went to court.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. Yeah, you can't do that.
Wow, Blac Chyna. I hope this isn't true.
No, it was a long list of stuff right there. I was like, wow, this is a loaded report.
Right?
What do we hear about her? She drinks a certain amount. We heard something about that.
$600 worth of booze a day.
That's like Blac Chyna? Three drinks in West Hollywood.
Right, that's true. That's a night at the Abbey. In West Hollywood.
I went out for drinks for a friend's birthday yesterday, and we made one last stop at this place called Laurel Hardware, which it's a restaurant and bar, and the reason it's called Laurel Hardware is the space used to be a hardware store called Laurel Hardware, so they just kept the name and the sign. And it's a little bit bougie, and ordered three drinks. It was $52.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Well,
oh yeah,
yeah.
I've had brunch at Laurel Hardware. It's pretty good, actually.
No, it's good. It's just expensive.
No, I've seen that.
Yikes. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Now, do you have news on? Because Meghan Markle is part of our Hallmark Lifetime family.
Yes.
And now the Megxit report.
Yes, because for you listeners, Meghan Markle is definitely part of our family. Not only in our first few months of doing this did Kurt and I talk about Meghan Markle's Hallmark movie, and this is, put it this way, one of the reasons why we are now doing Lifetime is we were only doing Hallmark, and then the Harry and Meghan movie came out on Lifetime, and we made a special exception to talk about that movie. Little did we know that Meghan Markle was going to open up Lifetime for us. Yes. And then we actually pulled an all-nighter and stayed up and live reported the wedding.
Yeah, we did.
Well, yes. That was before my time. Wow.
Yeah, yes. That was in the early days. Yep.
Yes. So so for those of you who have not heard, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have basically quit the royal family.
I don't know much about this.
Well, it basically, in a nutshell, Harry and Meghan were considered senior members of the royal family, as is everybody else, except for Andrew, but Andrew was basically fired. And so they have decided to step away from being senior members, which means they're relinquishing all of their duties, and they're not going to take any of the taxpayers' money. They're going to make their own money and make their own living, and they're going to relocate to North America.
Okay.
Now, for those people, Meghan Markle has experienced a lot. Like, the press in the UK is not kind to her at all.
No, they're not.
And it's borderline racist on top of everything else.
I don't think it's borderline. I think it's straight up racist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Are they racist? Well, I guess. So is it just racial, or do you think they're also mad that she's American?
American probably has something to do with it too. The fact that she's not a royal, she's an actress, she's American, and she's half black. I think it all it all adds up with that.
She's not old money. It's all the, you know, it's
right.
Hmm.
Think of it from Harry's point of view. I mean, he basically saw the press kill his mom. The press had something to do with his mom's death.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that is a sticking point with him anyway, because that's something that traumatizes you for forever, you know. Your mom, having your mom pass away, especially in the way that Diana passed away.
Yeah. And then add in the fact that he's not even going to be king, so why stick around for all that pomp and circumstance that doesn't benefit him at all?
Yeah,
other than the lifestyle he was living.
And I don't know if you guys have seen. Someone sent me a side by side with Kate Middleton on one side and Meghan on the other side, and literally it talks about how the reports of they did the exact same things and how the press would be totally kind to Kate and then totally rag on Meghan Markle for doing the exact same things. Mm-hmm. Like, I think one of the examples was when Kate Middleton was pregnant, she ate avocados, and they talked about how good it was that she ate avocados. And Meghan also ate avocados, and they basically talked about how much of a bad person Meghan was for eating avocados and how it was wrecking the environment. So they've basically said, see ya. And they're moving to North America. They're going to spend part of the time in North America and part of the time in the UK.
Do they want to be out of the public eye? Is that part of the goal?
Well, I think they're going to start their own charity. There's rumors that Meghan might go back to acting, a lot of people are talking about, because one of their things that they've said is they want to make their own money. Now, what a lot of the papers aren't reporting and what a lot of people don't realize is they already have money. Now, Meghan Markle came into the marriage with her own money.
Yeah.
She's worth like $5 million because she was on Suits, and even since Suits wasn't that popular of a show, as a matter of fact, I didn't even hear about Suits until they were getting married.
Oh, nine seasons less. It's bigger than you think.
Oh, really? Have you ever watched it?
I've seen episodes. It's, you know, it's on USA all the time.
But how many years? She was on Suits.
I think nine seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good money. Yeah. You can retire
So she made money. You know, she was one of the stars of that show.
For sure. Yeah, she was an actual working actor. Yes.
Yeah. And then Harry, on the other hand, has the Queen Mother. When the Queen Mother died a few years ago, she left him $40 million.
Wait, the Queen Mother?
Yeah.
What?
She's alive.
Yeah, Elizabeth's alive.
No, the Queen Mother. Elizabeth's mother. The Queen Mum.
Oh, God. When did she die?
Like a few years back. She was like 101.
No.
Queen Elizabeth's mom.
We got to fact check that.
Yeah, no.
Her mother was alive till recently?
Yes, until a few years ago. She lived until she was like 101.
Oh. But how old is she?
Yeah,
The
Queen's like 90, isn't she?
Yeah.
Well, so her mother was 11
more,
when she
I think it was more than a couple of years ago, Les.
Okay, so it was probably – okay. It's more than a couple of years ago.
I don't remember. Yeah, we need to look this up.
But the Queen Mother left
here. You're my source of information here.
Oh, no, look it up. Like, it was in the 2000s.
Well, we're 20 years into the 2000s.
No, well, okay.
I don't remember this. Okay, these people live
what
long.
What is time?
Well – I think she died. Like, I don't know. I want to look it up now. I don't have time.
So he has his own money.
That's good.
So maybe, and I was thinking, hey, maybe she'll do a Hallmark movie.
Maybe she'll appear on our show as a special guest.
I would love that. Well, she is from L.A.
Ooh. Well, okay, that's fine. That should work out fine for everybody.
She is from LA, and actually, I know a couple of people who, like, worked with her over the years, and she's supposedly very nice.
I told you, my friend, I have a friend that ironically works on Home and Family on Hallmark. She used, when she first moved to LA, she interned on General Hospital, like, in the production office, and one of the interns that she worked with was Megan.
And P.S., you guys know that's where her parents met on the set of General Hospital, right?
Yeah, we've talked about it here before.
Yeah.
Her parents met there.
Yes. Megan's, not my friend Shelley's.
So we'll keep you posted. We'll keep you guys posted. And then, is there any Lori Loughlin news?
I was going to do it, but it's not that good, so we'll save it for another time. What's that?
The trial's coming up.
It is, and Kurt is still here.
Well, it just keeps getting delayed.
In Boston.
It's a good thing that didn't go, because it still hasn't happened.
Well, Kurt, it's 6 hours away.
Well, every time I get on here, it hasn't happened yet. So, I mean, maybe you have made plans to go.
It's 6 hours away.
All right.
Well, okay, you guys. Let's get into this movie. Now, I'm going to do a little disclaimer. If I seem a little frazzled and a little exhausted, I just finished watching this movie right before we started taping.
Oh, I finished an hour ago or so. I took a little nap.
I have seen some insane movies since we have been doing this podcast. But this is the most insane movie I have ever seen on Lifetime or Hallmark.
We've been looking forward to this.
Yeah. I mean, we knew even before we watched a moment of this film, just based on the title, it was going to be crazy.
Yeah.
But, kudos, Lifetime. Kudos. Whoa.
Look, not to spoil anything, but when I saw just the little preview and I saw the ceiling fan, fly off like a helicopter.
Like, okay. If you like, before we even get into our breakdown of this movie, if you are looking for a fun, guilty pleasure Lifetime movie, like, this is the epitome of what Lifetime does well.
Yeah. I was talking to the television at one point.
I got this on YouTube for $4.25. It was worth it.
That's money well spent.
Yeah,
it is. It's on demand too, but that's a little more.
And more than once, I literally was like, "What?" Like three times.
One of the first things that happened, I was laughing for like a minute. It was so funny.
Yes, my stomach hurt at that point.
Have we said the title of this movie?
I don't think we have yet.
Killer Contractor.
Yeah.
And he was okay. Let's
here we go. Let's do it.
And there was some killing.
Yeah.
Okay. So we start out. Now, we've been talking about Lifetime enough that, you know, Lifetime has its tropes, mm-hmm. just like Hallmark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the big Lifetime tropes is the cold open. Mm-hmm. So it's night. There's creepy music. Mm-hmm. We see a house. It's very dark in the house. And then we see a man sleeping.
It's a big house, by the way.
Right.
Lots of big mm-hmm. houses in the area.
Yes. So the man is sleeping, right? And he hears a noise. And so he walks into the hall, and as he's walking down the hallway, we see a screw on the floor, which turns out to be very important.
Yeah, they're right by the railing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He goes out to investigate because he thinks somebody's in the house that shouldn't be there, but he doesn't have a weapon or anything, just in case.
No.
So someone is definitely downstairs. And they're wearing a hoodie, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And it's like a shadow. You see the shadow of the person.
Well, I can. Here, we put this on our Instagram. I'm. Okay. Okay.
Are you screenshotting, Les?
Okay. I do love doing this on my iPad because I can totally snap pictures.
Yeah, that's good.
So then the man.
I look ridiculous with that hood. I'm not going to get that role. All right, here we go.
The man starts to walk down the stairs to investigate, and all of a sudden, the banner breaks, he falls down the stairs, and he's dead.
Yeah. By the way, his fall, like, it was super obviously a stuntman. The guy looked like he was 2 feet taller and, like, 50 right. years younger.
Yeah, I can't. Because the original guy was like in his 70s,
oh,
I think.
Yeah,
probably at least.
7-year-old stuntman pushed him down the steps.
So then he's dead. So then we cut to San Francisco.
Is that what that was? I couldn't tell what city it was.
Yeah, didn't you see those houses that I think that's the same houses that are used in Full House, right?
Yeah.
It's that line of houses that go kind of up.
Oh, I didn't see that. I missed that shot.
Yeah, they showed them.
So we see a woman, and she's, like, painting pictures, and you can tell that, like, you know, I read, oh, it looks like pictures for a children's book, and it was. Mm-hmm. And then you see a picture of her and a little girl, so then you know she has a daughter. And so then the phone rings.
Wait, I want to set something up because I have it's an ongoing beef I have in this movie. I'm going to set something up. The book, you can tell that it's written by the woman that's painting it. Her name is Carrie, and it's spelled capital M, lowercase c, capital L-E-O-D. Now, if you read that, M-C-L-E-O-D, how would you pronounce that?
Wait, M-C-L-O-D?
M-C-L-E-O-D.
McLeod?
McLeod. Yeah,
every time I've ever seen that name written out like that, it's pronounced McLeod. But her name, and they say it a lot in the movie, is Carrie McLeod.
You're right.
They call her Miss McLeod over and over and over again in this movie. I'm like, did somebody give a wrong note early in the shooting in this movie and they had to stick with
it? They didn't know. Yeah, somebody didn't know that that's how that name is pronounced.
You're totally right.
And if somebody did know, they weren't going to correct anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so funny. You know what?
I could see that happening, though. It's like the higher ups are saying McLeod, and like, you know, the people are like, look, if I don't feel like I'm in any place to correct these people.
Right. It's like, I need this job. I'm not going to say anything.
And then the higher ups are saying, God damn it. Why did no one correct me? Oh, boy.
So then Carrie McLeod. McLeod.
Oh my God, that's terrible. I didn't even notice that. What a disaster.
So Carrie gets a phone call, right? And it's the police, and they're like, hey, Carrie, your dad's dead.
And Carrie, she doesn't really care.
Wait, she didn't even act like she was fazed.
What happened to her dad?
Your dad's dead.
I see dead people.
I understand there are different ways of processing grief, but, you know, one way is not just being stone-faced and not having any reaction at all.
She's kind of like, whatever. Okay, thanks.
Not in a movie. Not in a movie. Your state of grief shouldn't be no emotion.
She's like, thanks, bye. She just hangs up the phone.
Pretty much. So then her little girl comes in, and she's like, oh, your grandpa died. Like, whatever, kind of like,
who?
Your grandpa went to the store.
Yeah.
And so even the little girl points it out, like, you know, the little girl's kind of like, you don't seem too upset about this. And
Mom, would you try?
And she's like, well, yeah, your grandfather and I had a very complicated relationship. So we find out that she's divorced. The woman's divorced. Oh, actually, not only... She's divorced. Her dad and her mom were divorced, but then we find out that Carrie's divorced as well.
Right.
And I wrote, yeah, this obviously isn't a Hallmark movie because they actually said the word divorce.
Yeah, divorced, and it's implied that he, or it's full on stated at one point that he's a lying cheat.
Yes. So then they're driving through a town, like they go back to her hometown, and I wrote, have you guys been to Ojai? It looked a lot like Ojai to me.
Oh, maybe.
Ojai.
Ojai's like this.
Ohio?
No, there's a town. It's called Ojai, and it's actually kind of, it's still considered Southern California, but it's up the coast.
Oh, okay.
And it's a cool place, and so it's kind of like in the country, kind of spiritual, and it looked like Ojai.
Okay. They said in the end of the movie that it was filmed in Los Angeles. So
okay.
Like they're in the area.
Yeah. So then we find out her grandfather was 72. Like the grandfather, the dad was 72. And we find out that Carrie actually stopped visiting her dad when her mom died. Because she's taking a break. And... Right. We've also find out that there was some kind of secret going on.
Yeah,
daughter... so she writes about secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, in her books, her and her daughter's picked up. See, the daughter's very astute.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's like, you've been writing about secrets. I notice a theme in your books.
Right.
And then her mom. This is like when they're driving along. The mom doesn't want to answer the question, so she goes, "Look, there's my kindergarten."
I noticed that too. So then they drive up to the house, and it is a very nice house. And then there's this creepy guy, like, hiding behind a tree. So they run into, there's another trope on Lifetime movies, the bitchy realtor. So they meet up with the realtor. The realtor, you know, is telling her that the house is probably going to sell well, and she gave her just a list of things that she needed to fix. And
wait, we skipped ahead. We missed the funeral altogether.
Oh, funeral? Sorry, what was that?
We missed the funeral altogether.
I saw that too, but there's not much to that.
Well, no, there's something amazing to that. The way that they carried the coffin.
What?
How'd they do it?
The pallbearers had the coffin up on their shoulders.
Oh.
I've been a pallbearer. You carry it down at your side.
Yeah, you don't carry it up like that. No.
Like, what if you drop it?
But they're like that? Oh, no.
It was like a victory thing with a trophy or something.
I guess you could. That's
weird.
There's
a hook on it or something that you hold.
There is, but like, why would you risk lifting something that big and heavy? The box alone is going to be heavy, and then there's a body above your head. It's like...
And
no, that's ridiculous.
The guy,
he didn't know what it was.
He was not a small guy.
No.
But this was a bunch of actors. They were probably extras. There was nobody in the box, obviously. So it was probably very light.
I feel like there was one day at work when they were filming this. One day where the director was late to set. And the two important questions that morning were, how do you say this name, McLeod? And like one of the PAs is like, I think that's McLeod. All right, it's McLeod. And then the pallbearers are like, how do we, like, I know we're trying to set up this shot. Like, how do we lift this coffin? And nobody ever tells them. And the director says, I'm like, sorry, guys, I'm late. Let's start shooting right now.
Right.
I'm telling you that. All right, well, first of all, they probably did one shot where they said McLeod. They said, we're not going to reshoot anything. That's it.
Yeah.
And as for the pallbearers, because I do extra work, and I would just do what they say. If they say, hold the stupid coffin up like that, I'd be like, I can't argue. They're gonna fire me.
Right.
So everybody ends up walking with a coffin. Like,
wow. Man.
The whole movie's ridiculous.
Luckily,
the movie gets more ridiculous than that. So
God. Yeah, this is nothing.
Yeah.
So
those people are off the hook.
So yeah. So then they go into the house, and the house, you know, like I said, the realtor is like gives her a list of what to do. But the realtor's like, oh, this house is going to totally sell for sure. You know,
it is
we're not
going to
have any problem with this house at all.
I like that house.
Yo, it was a great house.
Yeah.
Good lawn.
So then this truck pulls up, and this guy with tools gets out of the truck. And one thing about this movie, it does not even try to mask for a second. The music's really creepy, so you know this guy's a creep.
It's Mike Dean.
Mm-hmm. Mike Dean. And he's like, you know, do you need work on your house? And it was funny because she was just like, oh, funny, you should show up. I just got a list of things that I needed to do. And so she invites him in for tea, and the music gets even creepier.
I heard you have a banister that needs to be fixed.
So then he's looking at her, and he's like, you're very pretty.
You have pretty eyes.
He's really creepy about it.
Yeah.
I thought her eyes were a little eerie looking. Like, this woman was, like, a little too attractive. Like, she looked like a store mannequin, in a way.
She looked a little like Portia de Rossi.
She looked like somebody. I was trying to think who she looks like.
She did, actually.
Yeah.
And then we find out that he's like an experienced contractor. He's been a contractor for a while. And so then he starts rattling off like the history of the house. And he knows a lot about the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like an uncomfortable amount of about the house.
Yeah.
And then she's kind of like, how do you know all this stuff? And then we find out that he did work for her father. And then he brings up, oh, and by the way, we went to high school together. And then she realizes who he was, Mike. Now, I put here, he was creepy, but all of a sudden, I don't know if they changed angles, because he was creepy, but then all of a sudden, he got kind of cute. Do you think?
Oh, I think, yeah, this guy was made up to look creepy, so if they change the angle slightly, he's not going to look so creepy.
Yeah, because all of a sudden, this other angle, I'm like, oh, he's not bad looking.
No, I think with the right haircut and they take him out of that black jacket, yeah.
Yeah, he had this weird. He most of the time he has a weird look on his face.
Yeah, it was more a weird energy than it was like weird looking.
But then, okay, so then he goes on to like she introduces the daughter, and then he like knows stuff about her family too.
Yeah, like a lot of stuff.
Like a lot. Mm-hmm. He knew like the daughter was named Ella, and Ella was named after Carrie's favorite aunt, whose name was Eloise, and this guy knew that.
Right.
So then the realtor comes back, and the realtor's like, you know what? I love this house so much, I'm just going to buy it myself. And then she's like, I'm going to pay full price. You don't have to repair it. I will just take it as is. I love this house. And so, and Mike hears this, and Mike is pissed. He's not happy about
it. He's so pissed. Yeah. The realtor's name is Claire. And I wrote, Claire is not long for this earth.
No. So then Carrie turns to Mike, and she's like, oh, well, you know what? I feel bad, but I don't need a contractor anymore. You know, sorry, nothing personal. She wants it as it is, and I'm going to take it.
That's right. I'm selling it for cash.
And especially because I guess the house was probably on the market for a day. Like, it was like a day or something crazy.
It wasn't even listed yet.
No, so they don't even have to pay. She doesn't even have to put out the 6% for the real estate.
Right.
For the realtors. She's making cash.
So then Mike goes home, right? Now, I wrote, when he walked in, was there a bunch of urns in the front of the house?
They look like irons. They look like – it was like a wall of shelves, and it looked like – you know the old-timey irons where it wasn't – it was just the shape of the iron, and then they would heat it up, and that's how you would press the clothes. It looked like a wall of those, just like decoratively.
So he goes home, and his mom, who is horrible, is like – the first thing she says is like, where's my money? Like,
she's a nurse,
right? And she's a mean nurse. She's like Nurse Ratched, because that's the first thing. She's like, "Where's my money?"
And
he tells her, "By the way, I went to see Carrie," and the mom like flips out. And the mom's like, "You need to leave her alone. She, you know, stay. You need to stay away from her. You need to leave her alone."
Well, she also said, oh, she goes, she's back. I missed that parade.
Oh, I missed that line. That's awesome.
She missed the parade.
And his mom is just bitter, like just bitter. Bitter and angry and just mean in her nurse's outfit.
I don't want her as a nurse.
No.
So
get
the
a
one
sponge
thing,
bath from that woman, Jesus.
Right? So then the realtor goes home. Like, so it's night again. It's very dark. So the realtor comes home.
Yeah, here
it
comes. Did you see the way she parked her car?
I just saw what's coming.
And she's walking through the house, right?
Before we get into the house, did you see how she parked her car?
What?
She pulls up like the it's clear the way they don't show the driveway, but the garage is she pulls right in front of it, and for some reason instead of pulling straight in her driveway, she's totally at a full on angle, like blocking both garage doors.
Oh yeah, it's her car, it's her house. She doesn't care.
And that's true. And then she just kind of hopped out of the car and ran in.
She's ready to celebrate. Well, she opens up the refrigerator and she's like, she just looks at everything. There's milk, there's butter. She's like, we're going to celebrate. So what are you going to eat? You going to eat the stick of butter? Right.
She grabbed wine.
She grabs
she
wine.
Did grab
grabs wine. The wine. She does. Yeah, she does it.
she grabs the wine, yes. So then we see like a hooded person in the house.
I know.
It's like The Outsider on HBO. Strange hooded person.
So then as she's walking around, I'm thinking, why is she walking around in the dark? Right? Because that's the first thing that I do when I come home and nobody else is home. Like, if I come home and I know my husband's not home, the first thing I do is turn on the light, right?
Right.
So I guess she heard me, because then she goes to turn on the light switch, and she gets electrocuted.
And she's kind of like holding on to this light switch. Like she won't move her hand. Usually when you get some electrical shock, you move away from it quickly.
Yeah.
But she just stands there with her finger on the switch.
She's got both arms outstretched, one arm on the light switch, keeping the electrocution going, while the other hand holding the champagne glass breaks it. Like the glass breaks in her hand and she just falls to the floor.
It looked like a lightning bolt, like came out of the light, the thing too.
I had to go back and watch it again. I didn't even know what happened. I was like, "What is she really just keeping her finger on that thing?"
I laughed so hard when this happened because even though it's very violent, it's also like comically violent. It was so over the top and so shock value filled. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. And then the music's like, so she's toast. She's dead, right?
Yeah, it's at the end of her.
And so then, this is one of the things I loved about this movie. So she's dead, and the person goes and fixes the light back and like unelectrocutes it, like, and puts it back to normal.
Well, that's her trade.
He didn't want to leave a trace as to how the electrocution happened. He wanted it to look like faulty wiring or something. So he put, you know what he had in there? It was a stick of gum. It was the metal wrapper on the stick of gum somehow changed the current or whatever. And he snipped
the wire.
That's
very MacGyver.
Yeah, it was super MacGyver.
Well, these people are really good, very efficient contractors. They know a lot of stuff.
I mean, if they weren't so murderous, I would hire them to do work.
I would too. I never met the people so knowledgeable about things.
So then back at the house, the daughter actually is really loving it there. And the daughter's asking Carrie, you know what, can we just stay here? You know, can we just stay here? I want to stay. And as they're having this conversation, Mike is watching the house creepily. And then he has like old pictures, like of Carrie from high school.
And like, so the actress that played Carrie, like I said, she's very beautiful, very attractive. But the pictures of her in high school, in air quotes, she looked like a 40-year-old woman posing for high school photos. Like the actress just doesn't carry herself as a teenager. She looked like an adult in the photos.
And then they like just, because they just put her in a it looked like they just put her in a ponytail or something.
Yeah.
So then Carrie calls Mike. And she's like, guess what? The house is back on the market.
Guess you got a job. See, how do you create jobs in this country? You electrocute people who are in the way.
So then she's like, well, Claire died, so you know what? I need you to fix the house after all.
Because good news.
Even though she's dead, I still have her list of what needs to be done.
That's true, yeah. There's still stuff that needs to be done, exactly.
And then so as she's talking to him on the phone, he's actually watching the house.
Yeah.
So then the next scene, someone else shows up.
Yeah.
And who's he's that? A contractor too.
Uh-oh, sounds like there's a special
and
interest.
He's hot. And not only is he hot, when I lived in West Hollywood, he used to live on my street.
Really?
Yes. And I would see him every day.
Wow.
And he looks even better in person.
Good for him.
I noticed that this guy, so this character's name is Jason.
Yes.
And then Mike wore jeans that were kind of like saggy jeans. Mm-hmm. And when Jason showed up, he had like wealth fitted jeans.
Yes.
I noticed that.
Big difference.
And I loved how, like, because when Mike showed up, the first scene when Mike showed up, he showed up with tools. And then when Jason showed up with tools, too. Mm-hmm.
Another difference.
And so then he also wants to check out the house.
Yeah.
And so Mike is pissed, right? Mike is mad. And so then Jason and Carrie are talking, you know, kind of hitting on each other. And then Carrie gets a phone call, and it's her dad's lawyer. And the dad's lawyer's like, you know, I need to talk to you. You know, come by my office. We need to talk and get his will together and all that stuff. And then, so then, not only is Jason hot, Jason has good game. Because Jason sees her books, and he's like, oh, those are my niece's favorite books. So, of course, she's like, oh, Jason.
Oh, that needs to be isolated. That little sound.
And then, and then, so, and then she's having a party. And she's like,
oh, yeah, where'd this party come from? All of a sudden, she's having a party.
And then she's like, Jason, come to my party. Mike didn't get invited to the party.
No, Mike wasn't going to be there, yeah. Awkwardly lurking around.
It's weird that she's having like an open house kind of party. She hasn't lived there for a long time, doesn't seem to have a zillion friends or family there.
No.
And also, should you be having – should you be entertaining at your house when your dad fell to his death from a railing that hasn't been fixed yet?
Where's the bathroom? You could use the bathroom upstairs, but be careful with that railing.
Right?
If you lose your balance, sorry.
We've had some trouble up there.
Right? So then Jason pulled another good game move. He's like, of course I'll come to your party. And as he's walking away, he turns back and looks at her.
That's
like he has just revved it up.
All right.
And then another Lifetime trope, my favorite Lifetime trope, the sassy, slutty best friend.
No, right. See, I like this one.
Oh, I liked her too. Right before that, though, you missed Ella saying Carrie should marry Jason. Like, she just met him.
Right. That's true. Yeah, Ella was looking at the whole thing.
Oh, man.
Oh, guy's got charm.
And she's like, you like him.
Yeah.
Got his jeans. Giddy Megan. This woman's name is Megan.
Yeah.
She arrived, yeah.
And I like her, too. I like her, too.
She was hot, too.
Yeah. She's running up, and she's kind of eyeing Jason and Carrie, like, oh, what's going on here, you know?
So, right. I showed up at the right time.
And,
all right, I missed the funeral.
And then Mike knows who Megan is, and Mike's looking, and Mike is even extra pissed that Megan shows up, right? And then we find out that Megan's a flight attendant, right?
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
Fly for free. Awesome.
And then she was – what did – Carrie said something like, I hired him, or he's something like that. And Megan is like, well, I hope you hired him for the bedroom, or we start in the bedroom, or something like that.
Now, how did Megan know Mike? We never really...
Oh, because they all went to high school together.
Oh, they all went to high school together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they all went to high school together.
Because Megan starts pointing out to Carrie, like, hey, Carrie, he was in love with you. Like, he was always staring at you. Like, everyone knew it. How did you not remember this?
Yeah. So Mike shows up, and then, Megan hates him. And, so she's like, she's telling Carrie, you know, this guy's a creep. I can't believe he's here. And then she's like, he's going to try to sleep with you as well. Yeah, you better be careful. And then I wrote here, I like Megan, but she's dead. Because he hates her. Mm. So then Mike is like doing some work in the attic, and he hears through the vent, he hears Megan talking shit about him.
The attic, by the way, that Jason just said didn't need any work.
Right. So then Carrie's telling Megan that she actually found a bunch of boxes. And then she mentions the toxic elephant in the room. And I guess it goes back to, like, the secrets, because she said her dad had a lot of secrets. So she was going to go through these boxes and find out, like, get to the bottom of what the hell was going on with her father. And she said that she tried to talk to her dad at one point about the secrets, and all her dad said to her is the past should stay in the past. And he would never tell her what was going on.
Right.
So then Carrie's going through one of the boxes, and she finds a stack of canceled checks made out to Michael Dean.
No, they were cashed checks.
Yeah. But then I guess you could kind of easily explain it away because he said that he worked for her dad.
Right.
Because that's how he explained how he knew so much about the house is because he worked for the dad and he and her dad got along. So then Mike goes home, and well,
before that, we see a promo for what needs to be our next Lifetime
movie. Oh, my God.
Oh, you saw promos. I didn't see a promo.
Okay.
They showed a promo for a movie called Psycho Party Planner.
And I immediately hit record.
Oh, my God. And
well, when is it playing? And what makes a psycho – what makes a party planner a psycho?
We're going to find out.
I think it's playing this weekend.
Is it?
Saturday, tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to see it. Oh, okay. If it's – I'll make a note.
Yes, because Killer Contractor, if it's even half as good as this movie, we are in for a ride.
I want
Psycho
somebody,
Party Planner.
I want somebody to be strangled by a balloon display.
You know what's gonna happen.
You know, like this big arches, like somebody gets caught in it and somehow gets choked by it.
Right? Yes. Yeah. I immediately hit record. Like
somebody gets
I did
poisoned by the shrimp cocktail. Yeah. Oh boy. The party planner.
Those white folding chairs that they have at every outdoor wedding, like there's a big fight involving those. Ugh. I'm on
board. You know what I love about Lifetime? I do like, you know, there's the wrong universe, the psycho universe.
It's almost like a game of Mad Libs coming up with what the next movie and plot is going to be. It's like the wrong, pick a profession, and you write in the profession, and they all just sort of sit in an office and do that all day.
But and you know what I love? So I'm wondering if, like, because the wrong always has the same people in it, but just in different roles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah.
It's like American Horror.
Because the wrong, Vivica A. Fox is always in the wrong, and Eric Roberts, they're part of the wrong universe.
They sure are. You know, an offspring of Psycho of Party Planners, you could have Psycho Cater Waiter.
Uh-huh. I wouldn't even joke.
Because the psycho party planner's got to have cater waiters anyway, so.
Right. And so, yeah, so I'm wondering if in the psycho universe and in the killer universe, I wonder if it's always, like, the same people.
Only one way to find out.
Exactly.
Watch
them there was all. A marathon of these. Yeah, there was some kind of marathon. It was, like, Psycho Granny, Psycho Brother-in-law, Psycho Stepsister. It was, like, it was on all night.
2020 is the year of the killer and the psycho. As far as I'm concerned.
Psycho brother-in-law. Oh, boy.
Okay, oh, so Michael goes home, right? And his mom, like, the mom never says hello. The mom's first words are always, where's my money?
The mom never relaxes.
Well, because she's money hungry.
She never listens to the radio.
Never, you know, she never has a movie on. She's just home and just angry. Give me the money.
Yeah, mom really needs to just do some, like get that app, Headspace.
Right,
right.
Just sit with the silence for a minute.
Something.
Right. Yeah,
like
exactly.
CBD oil, something.
Yeah, I just read about a silent room, like the quietest room in the world. She needs to seek that out and sit in there for a little while and try to find some peace and solace.
Or like some edibles or something. Because, yeah. Oh, so we see a box, right? And it's a box full of like high school pictures and like pictures of like him and Carrie from high school. And his mom's like, I'm going to burn these pictures. I'm going to burn this box.
If you don't digitize this alone.
Exactly. Can't you just upload them on your laptop?
If you don't upload these, I'm going to burn them.
It is 2020 after
all. God, get with the times.
They should be in the cloud anyway.
You know, if we had sponsors, Right now, I wish one of our sponsors were that app or that thing, Legacy Box, where you send in your
yes, and your yes. Video.
So, if Legacy Box would like to advertise on a Lifetime of Hallmark, hit us up please. On Instagram.
I'm gonna burn your Legacy Box.
Lifetime of Hallmark podcast on Instagram.
Yeah. Right.
Brought to you by my Legacy Box.
So then the next scene. Carrie's having her party, and it's a really good party.
Yeah. All of a sudden, she hired the psycho party planner.
Oh, good, man.
It was packed.
Yeah.
She had a bunch of people. Like, it was packed.
A lot of people fun. There. It was a big yard.
Strings of lights. Yeah.
It's kind of like, Dad's dead. Oh, well.
Daddy's dying. Who's got the will?
Mm-hmm. And then, like, her teacher, like, at one, like her one teacher. Of her favorite teachers shows up.
Oh, that's how she got a bunch of people there. She was inviting everyone she's ever met in her entire life.
Ah.
Here's my second grade teacher.
Then it wasn't that big a crowd after all.
Here's the midwife who pulled me out of the vagina.
So then hot Jason shows up. And then she busts out a little game herself because then she gives him – because he said that his niece loved her children's books. Mm-hmm. So she pulls out an autographed children's book for his niece.
Not only autographed by her, autographed by Ella herself.
Yes. So everybody had – like they were on their best game, like the best game skills. So – So then, like, they're talking, they're flirting, they're hitting on each other, and then Ella comes up, and, like, they're playing her favorite song, and so Ella's like, let's go dance. And so the three of them start dancing, right? And then after the party, Ella's like, you know what? I really want to stay here. I hate it back in San Francisco. And then we find out she's being bullied. And I guess, like, the friends, like, she was friends, but then, like, her friend group kind of kicked her out. And now they're bullying her.
It's because, as Ella tells us, she told them that their secrets are stupid.
Right?
Secrets are stupid.
Yeah.
She's probably right.
Ella has a problem with people keeping secrets. They mention it several times in the movie.
How does she know the secrets are stupid? Aren't they secrets?
That well, she maybe thinks that they tell her that to not tell anyone else.
Oh.
And then especially, you secrets. Know, especially since it seems like Carrie was pretty open with her. And so the fact that the whole reason why she never saw her grandfather was because a secret, you know, came between her dad or her mom and her grandfather, she's probably, like, kind of sensitive to that anyway.
Yeah. And, I, not trying to be funny here, I would think that culturally as a parent now, and maybe I'm wrong, but parents probably very much now teach their kids, like, hey, don't keep secrets. If, you know, if something you think is bad is happening to you and somebody tells you not to say anything, you should say something.
Right. Yeah, right. Especially since, no, you're right. You're totally right. Yeah. You know, you're totally right. After, you know, she cries and she's like, you know what, I actually like it here and I like the house. And so then Carrie basically breaks down and admits, oh, I like it here too, let's stay. So they decide to stay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then we see them, and then the next scene, like, they're playing cards. And, okay, I wrote...
What here, game was that? I think it's Go Fish, right? Is that what they were playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't decipher... I wrote Mike Locke keeps stick.
Oh, yeah. So they're playing cards, and then Mike's there, and Carrie asks him to fix the lock on the front door because it keeps sticking. And then he's about to ask her something in that moment. And it seems like he's going to ask her out, maybe. And kind of, and then sees Ella is watching, and he sort of second guesses it and doesn't do it.
Yeah, that was weird.
So then she goes up to the attic, and the music is very creepy, right? And then she's going to the attic because that's where all the boxes that she's going through are, her dad's old boxes, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she's walking over to the boxes, and we see that the floor is very flimsy. And we see a screw on the ground as she's walking over to the boxes.
Uh-oh.
They really in this movie, they do love to make things just fall apart by a couple of screws not being – like, floorboards aren't usually attached by screws, are they? Aren't they normally attached by nails?
Yeah,
these screws are maybe a quarter of an inch long.
Usually a floor isn't just a board. There's usually more of a structure than that.
So then we find
– usually.
So she finds so she goes to this box and she finds all these old pictures, and they're like old family pictures and, you know, old pictures of her dad and her mom and when she was a kid. And then all of a sudden, we see Carrie falling through the ceiling.
She crashes to the ceiling and then lands and smashes the table like she's Matt Foley.
Also, that's a two-story fall.
Yeah.
Because she was in the attic, the dining or the coffee table is in the living room on the ground floor. So the house must have been a structure where there's like the living room maybe was a very, very high ceiling, so the upstairs is smaller. Like that's a hard fall.
Oh yeah.
If she hits her head, she's either very, you know, she's in trouble or she could be dead. But I guess she doesn't hit her head somehow.
Yeah.
She's fine. She's completely fine.
She hits the coffee table and breaks it in half from two stories above. And she's like, maybe a little achy. Like, take some ibuprofen, you'll be fine.
Scratch the nail.
Because the paramedics, are you sure you're okay? And she's like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
The paramedics, like, really?
No, she would be brought to the hospital.
Oh, for sure.
After that. That's ridiculous.
Because especially if she, like, even if they suspected that she hit her head, because...
Yeah.
And they'd be like, don't go to sleep tonight because you might have a concussion.
How would she have not hit her head? I mean, unless she got her... I got to watch it again. If she went, put her arms out, but then she would have broken her arms. She would have broken her arms. So I don't know how she got...
I think she fell on her back, so I can't see how, just with gravity, the head wouldn't have hit
back.
Unless the back hit the table, broke the fall for the head. So head's eventually going to hit the floor.
Here comes the ambulance now. The ambulance just heard us talking about it.
But imagine, like, I'm putting my hand out, so there's the table. Right. Her body hits the table. And the table breaks, and then everything hits the floor at the same time, but much less impact at that point.
Okay. And if you were relaxed as you fell down, a little more relaxed, if you weren't tensed up as much, I would assume you would be tensed up.
Like a cat?
I don't think she was drunk. No, but if like a drunk person is, if they're just relaxed and they fall down, they have more of a chance of. No, I don't know. Maybe I should be talking.
I love that we are earnestly debating the physics of a Lifetime movie called Killer Contractor.
To figure out how this woman could actually crash through the floor. Okay, she's through the floor, and then she's falling. And you said it's two floors.
Two floors.
So, like,
you're picking up speed.
I'm just looking at my own where I am right now. If she from the ceiling to this floor, if she hit her head. I don't know if she could even like survive that.
Right.
Oh, well. Anyway. Maybe her head landed on a pillow. I don't know.
And then they showed, like, her daughter. They showed Ella look at the hole in the ceiling. And then Mike walks in, and Ella looks very suspicious.
Yeah.
Ella's like, something's up.
Yeah.
And then – Harry's like, Mike, I saw your tools up in the attic. Before I fell through the ceiling. And Mike's like, it wasn't me. I didn't touch it. But that's what everybody says. It wasn't me.
He was super defensive.
Yeah, and then, he got really upset.
And then he yells, "Why doesn't anyone listen to me?" And he runs out of the house.
And then I wrote here, "Idiot, you're supposed to be calm and say, what? I don't know what you're talking about." And stay very calm.
He runs out. This whole sequence is weird. Yeah, he runs out. Ella gives her mom a glass of water that's as big as a Stanley Cup. Then they sit on a couch and they watch Mike drive off and hit the mailbox like they're watching a movie.
He backs out of the driveway with such speed and he's like going right towards the mailbox. But I thought he was going to hit another car at that point. But he pulls out, runs over the mailbox and just speeds away. It was amazing.
Yeah, and he totally backed out of the driveway without looking. And it looked like the house was like on a main road.
Yeah.
And so then Megan, like the next thing, Megan's like, "Girl, you need to get rid of this guy,
girl,
because he's sabotaging your house." And then because then Carrie's kind of like, "Oh, I don't know, I guess I'll get rid of him." Like she was kind of wishy-washy about it.
Well, she just fell through a ceiling. Maybe she doesn't have her wits about her.
So that, but then the hot Jason shows up.
He shows up. And now, how did you know him before? Have you seen him in other things?
He actually gets to drink. This is play your drinking game. He used to be on One Life to Live, and he was dating Jessica and her evil split personality, Tess. So he was with Jess and Tess. Oh, wait, no. He was with Gigi, and they thought that he was dead, and he came back from the dead.
That makes sense.
Okay.
I looked him up on IMDb, and he has done several of the Psycho movies for Lifetime.
Oh, so he's part of the Psycho universe.
I believe he's part of the Psycho cinematic universe, yes.
Okay, good. Good game.
Oh, so then Megan shows up, and then Jason shows up, and then Megan's like, "Oh, I'll leave you alone." And then, but then Mike, of course, is in the car, like, watching the entire thing. And then, Jason's like, "Carrie, are you okay?" And then she tells him that Mike was the contractor. And he was like, "Wait, what, Mike? That you had that guy as your contractor? Are you nuts?" And then, he's like, I can't believe you hired that guy as your contractor. I'll be your contractor." And so then they're giggling, like, "What? Like, oh, yes, I just fell out of through a ceiling like 45 minutes ago, but hey, everything's cool."
Well, it's a very lucky woman.
So then they're giggling, and Mike is still pissed. Like, Mike is just scowling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then that night, it's very dark, and it's very windy. And then they come home from wherever they were, and the door is unlocked. And what do? They go into the house anyway.
I think Les should do audiobooks. I like how you describe things.
Why, thank you. And then they hear something. And then my question is, and I wrote this again, why don't people turn their lights on? They were just walking through their dark house.
Oh, yeah, that would help.
Yeah.
And then...
You know what would also help is if you sense that somebody might be there... just walking in and looking around and locking doors behind you as you do it. Maybe not the smartest idea.
Right.
No, just, yeah.
And then, then like she finds the doors open and she's like, "Ella, did you forget to lock the door? Maybe we just forgot to lock the door." But like all the doors in the house were open.
Right.
And so they're really creeped out, but whatever. Oh, so then the next day, she wakes up to, like, noise in the house. And she goes downstairs, and Mike is in the house.
Working away.
Acting like, yeah. And, like, he's sawing, and it was, like, 7 in the morning or something crazy.
Yeah.
And she's like, Mike, how the hell did you get in the house? And it's 7:15 in the morning. What are you doing here? And then he's like, I fixed the mailbox. I'm so sorry.
He claims the dad gave him a key.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So, yeah, the dad, he has the key. And he's like, you know, sometimes I lose my temper. And then Carrie's like, you know, will you excuse me for a second? I'll be right back. And she calls Jason, and she's like, oh, my God, he's in the house. I woke up, and he's here. And then he's totally, like, lurking behind – Mike's, like, lurking behind her, right?
Yeah.
And then
this was weird because he was kind of lurking behind the refrigerator. Then he's lurking behind. Well, first he starts asking questions like, did your dad used to tuck you in
and kiss you goodnight?
Right. And did, dad, did your dad read to you? And
and she's like trying to fire him. And she says, this isn't personal. And then he says, this is personal. I'm your brother.
Right. And that was one of the times I was like, what?
Anything it takes to keep that job.
I was just like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Your brother. Okay.
I honestly had to pause it for a second and like collect myself. So.
Well. Yeah, the thing about that revelation is you can only say that for the first time once.
Right.
So you gotta save it for the right time.
So then Jason comes over, and he just – Mike gets in his car and once again, like, speeds away like a mad person.
Did not run over the mailbox again, though. I was disappointed. No,
I thought he should. I was hoping.
Or something. So then, hit something.
Yeah.
Oh, so then the insurance guy comes over. And he's, like, inspecting the house, and he looks at the banister, and he's like, did you fix this? And she's like, yeah, I fixed it. And the insurance guy's like, you know what? I wish you wouldn't have fixed the banister. And he's like, oh, because he's like, the case is still open. So I wish you wouldn't have fixed the banister, because it would have totally, like, helped your claim.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I thought we were cleared. Like, somebody screwed up there and didn't tell her that, hey, claim is still open. Don't do things to the house.
Well, I could imagine this happening this way, but shouldn't the insurance person come a little earlier? Yeah. Like, she's living in the house with her daughter. Don't they want to have a safe banister? No, just leave the banister.
But then doesn't a claim take a while?
That's why I'm thinking, like, it is feasible that something this stupid could happen.
Well, the claim takes a while, but the adjuster usually shows up like that day, the next day.
Oh, they
like,
would.
If you have
okay.
a car accident,
so.
They usually try to come out the next day.
Then he was like, was there anybody in the house with your dad when he died?
Mike.
And she was like, I think the contractor was. So then So then Mike goes home again, and his bitter mom's like, where's my money?
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
And then she gives him the money. He gives her the money, and she's like, oh, did this come from her? And then – oh, and then she's like, is this it? Is this all? And he's like, well, first of all, she fired me. And second of all, I told her.
Yeah.
He's starting to throw him out of – yeah. I told her.
Yeah, he
told her.
Basically,
mom's not happy about it.
Yeah, telling his mom that he told Carrie that he's the brother.
Right. So then, once again, Jason
throw mom from the train.
The night was sultry.
Right. Oh my god, I remember that movie.
Yeah.
The night was sultry.
So Jason is once again exercising good game because he offers to bake them an apple pie.
Yeah, and he gets them all involved. They're peeling apples.
Right. So then Ella, they're peeling apples, and Ella's like, you know, is Mike in trouble? Why is he, you know? And then Carrie's like, you know, stay away from him. And then
I just saw it's coming.
And then Jason says, oh, don't worry, I installed an alarm.
And triple
so they're baking
windows.
The pie, right? They're getting ready to bake the pie. So they turn on the oven. And then, dude, I loved this because they showed, like, the oven, like, the pipe. Like, they did a close-up of the pipe.
The gas pipe, yeah.
As right. she turned on the oven, right? Yeah. And it made, like, the noise. Then all of a sudden, a big ball of fire blowing out of the oven.
And it looks so fake.
Oh, it was so, so ridiculous. Yeah, like, she opens, as she opens the door to the oven, the fire just comes flying through it and just hits her. And I wrote in my notes, this movie is off the rails and I am here for it.
But it hits her, but like she wasn't really burned.
It threw her back,
it wasn't real fire.
Though.
It was like a cartoon fire came out.
It was such a huge ball of fire that should have burned the entire front of her face and chest. And
yeah,
yet,
immortal.
The neck they cut to Jason just bandaging up her right arm. Like the lower half of it's as if like the only thing that fire touched was like a little bit of her right arm. She got like a first degree burn.
And then okay, so you would
Like this is like that Bruce Willis movie, where he can't get injured or anything. Unbreakable.
Oh yeah.
Unbreakable. Yeah, that's her. She falls through the ceiling, crashes through a table, a fireball hits her. Nothing.
I was gonna say death becomes her.
Oh, that's another one. Yeah.
Wait, okay, so get this. Okay, this is the part that was cracking me up too. So you would think after all of this, you know, you fall through the ceiling, fire flies out of your oven, you would think you'd be like, okay, we need to get the hell out of this house, right? And like, we're going now. Just get your things. We're getting out. We're going to a hotel. We're going somewhere. We're going to stay at Megan's. We're going to go sleep on Megan's floor or something. But she's like, oh, I guess we should get out of the house. Like, it was no big deal. and then Jason's like, well, let's call the police.
Even, she's very even-keeled.
Yeah.
I guess that's the word, right?
It didn't even dawn on me until you said that just now, Les, that the fire department didn't come. Like, a gas explosion is usually a big deal. Like, they would have evacuated everyone's house in that street.
I don't know how the whole public service department over there must be like the EMTs aren't really coming out. The fire department's not coming out.
And then I wrote
here. Dissolving themselves.
And then I wrote here, you know, Jason, why don't you take her to your place? Because he's like, oh, well, you know what, just hang out. Mm-hmm. So then... cops show up at Mike's house.
Well,
no accusations, except Black China gets accused. So she gets accused of trying to burn down a house, but these people are all off the hook.
See, Black China would have been like, oh, hell no. We're going.
I like that Carrie calls the police and, like, tells them, like, this is Mike. He's trying to murder me. And they go over to Mike's house, like, you know, sirens blazing. And they send the detective along with the cop. And it's like, do they have any kind of evidence to even go bug this guy? Like, nothing's happened as far as they know.
No, right. I guess not.
And I love, because then the mom opens the door to the mom's like, to the detective, oh, hello, Christopher.
Lawrence, yes, you knew him, yeah. Hello, Christopher.
I know, I wanted to know the backstory so bad.
Came back for more, did ya?
Right, and I remember because she was talking, and I wrote, "She is just nasty."
I don't want your daughter's Girl Scout cookies this year. Is that why you're here?
She is bitter. So then Carrie's lawyer. So then Carrie's talking to her lawyer, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, "You know what, lawyer? You would not believe the crap that's going on right now." There's this psycho contractor.
Fireballs.
He's trying, like, he's sabotaging my house. And get this, he says he's my brother. And the lawyer's like, well?
Yeah.
This is as good a time as any.
Funny you should mention that. Now, I thought your dad was going to tell you, but he's your brother. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, well, your dad didn't want to tell you because he was afraid that it was going to hurt your mother. And then she was like, my mother died 4 years ago. He could have told me. And so then we find out that
I just realized something. Maybe you confused the queen mother with her mother, and that's why you thought the queen mother died 4 years ago.
Maybe. I could have.
Oh, boy.
I was shell-shocked after watching this movie.
Anyway, she says, Mike's trying to kill me, and then they just hug.
Right.
He grabs her and holds her.
Oh, and then he says, this is very important. He says, Mike was actually initially supposed to get half of the inheritance. But at the last minute, the dad contacted the lawyer to change the will. But the dad never signed it. So he's like, so if you die, he gets everything. So then this part.
By the way, I just finally looked up when the Queen Mother died. It was 2002. It was 18 years ago.
Well, okay.
I'm still impressed she lived that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was 101, right? Or 102. Like,
Queen Mother.
She's old.
I just closed it, but yeah. 2002.
Okay. So this part, this scene.
The show. Oh, okay, no, just keep going.
Yeah. All right. Oh, no, yeah. Is that what were you saying?
No, I was good. I just really quick. The show, The Crown. Who is the queen of The Crown? Is it the Queen Mother or is it the?
No, it's the queen.
It's the queen, the current queen. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I haven't seen the show. All right, here we go.
Yeah, keep going. The current queen.
Okay.
Okay. So little Ella is
very important.
What little girls do? You know, she's laying on her bed. With her stuffed animals.
Oh, yeah, this is.
And she's watching like a hair tutorial on YouTube, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, she's watching. I wrote it down. Oh, I forget. Oh, it's a step-by-step hair. I don't know what I wrote. Oh, well.
Yeah, the girls do that. They watch hair tutorials, and some boys do, but they do like hair and makeup tutorials. It's a big thing,
right? And you know, she's got her head. She's got her earphones in. She's like, watching the tutorial, right? Mm-hmm. And she's laying on her bed, and then you know there's a fan above her. So then the fan is going, and she's watching the tutorial, and the fan starts going a little faster, and then it goes a little faster, and she's got her earphones in, so she has no idea what's going on because she's learning how to do a good ponytail, right? And so then all of a sudden, the fan is like going like a helicopter.
Which I don't even know how you could make that happen, but.
I don't know why she didn't feel how cold the room was getting.
Right.
Right.
It was spinning.
I
so
have
fast.
Fans. I have ceiling fans. How on earth did he break open the ceiling and put in like a lawnmower engine in the ceiling? Or
maybe.
How do you do that?
So it's going, because it's going like really fast, and then all of a sudden it falls off of the ceiling and it starts going towards her, and she looks up and she sees it and she jumps off the bed, and then the fan cuts up her stuffed animal, like it cuts up her stuffed elephant.
Yeah. That's the one. It flies off like a helicopter. That's insane.
This was incredible.
But that's so funny. That's so funny.
And then I wrote here, get out of the goddamn house.
Yeah, you got real faulty wiring going on here.
Get out. And then
get
Jason's
out.
Like, and then Jason's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, you, I'll protect you. Don't worry.
Don't worry about that.
And then
it was by another fan.
And then someone was telling her, was it the cop? Or someone was telling her, you should go back to San Francisco. And she's like, well, I can't because I sublet my place.
Oh, that was Jason's suggestion. He said they should go back. Yeah.
But yeah, so she's like, I sublet my place in San Francisco, so I can't go back. Mm-hmm. So then, So then they call the cops, and Christopher, the detective, is there. And so Christopher is like, I can't really do anything because I don't have any solid evidence against him. So I can't just go and arrest him.
Yeah.
But then, okay, Christopher doesn't say, you may want to go and stay in a hotel. Or you may want to go somewhere. Or we'll have some armed officers come and guard you. He was like, lock the doors. That's all he said.
Well, that's in another scene he tells her that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because after that, they leave, and then the detective calls Carrie. He's like, oh, I've got something that we need to tell you. So she heads over.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And then Jason's like, I'll stay on the couch. Like, I'll stay here, but I'll just sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
And so she's in the morning.
That's another move, by the way.
Right. No, that was a total move.
Yeah.
And I guess he really did sleep on the couch, because the next day, he shows up with a cup of coffee for her in bed. Yeah. And then he has, like, new locks. He has a bag of new locks.
You usually don't end up staying on the couch in those situations.
But he did. Good game. Because he did. So then, so this is the part that Jason just said, that Christopher calls Carrie and says to meet me. I got to talk to you. And so Mike is stalking the house, and Megan is driving up, and Megan sees him stalking the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is great.
So he drives away, and Megan follows him.
Bad move, Megan. Hey, that's a dumb move, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, no, totally dumb move.
But they do it in all the movies.
Well, anybody listening home, don't do that.
Because the sassy girl is, like, always tough and, like, I could kick his ass.
She thinks she is.
So then, meanwhile, the insurance the claims adjuster shows up and says, guess what? Your dad was murdered.
The claims adjuster didn't show up. Christopher is like, I wanted him to be here so he could break the seal. He brought in the claims adjuster to tell her that her dad was murdered. Why is that the claims adjuster's job?
Right, yeah, isn't that the detective's job?
I didn't have the heart to tell you myself.
Like, is the claims adjuster the one solving the crime? Is that his job?
Right, because isn't the detective like, you know, sorry, there's been foul play.
We flipped a coin to see which one of us had to tell you the news.
There's been a lot of cuts to the force lately, so we're going to outsource the breaking of bad news to other professions.
I don't know if you noticed, our EMTs have been cut back, and we don't have a fire department anymore, so we kind of ignore those fireballs.
Right. So then the claims adjuster is like, you know, there were missing screws in the banister.
Yes.
So he's like, sorry.
Oh, is there anyone you suspect? Yes, you dummy.
Yes. When she said that, Christopher's response was like, oh, yeah. It was almost like it had dawned on
him. Mike! I think it's Mike! I've said this before. Oh, that's right. Like, we didn't think about
you
Mike.
You did tell me that Mike was kind of shady and had been around a lot. I hadn't thought of that one.
I'm not going to live in this town.
And then the claims adjuster is like, yeah, you know, if you're dead, Mike's going to get all the money. And then, I wrote, the detective is an idiot because he just told her to go home and lock your door.
Mm-hmm. And Mike has a key.
Right. And because I was like, isn't this the part where he's supposed to say, we'll take you into protective custody and we'll look out for you because someone's trying to kill you? So,
Or at the very least, like, even if you don't think somebody's actually out to get you, there's been so much shit that has gone down in this house that maybe the house just isn't safe to inhabit at this moment.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Get an inspector in there, if nothing else.
You had a gas explosion.
Right. And you fell through a ceiling.
Yeah, you lost a table.
You had a runaway ceiling fan.
Yeah, right. The ceiling fan fell out of the ceiling as well.
Whew. I'm glad they've got a budget for a contractor.
And they're like, sorry, we cannot come out and inspect your house right now because there's a house down the street where some lady got electrocuted and kept her hand on the outlet forever.
Yeah, house inspectors have got to be making a killing.
Do you think that all these terrible things affected the housing market in this area?
Right.
Oh my God.
Wait, because aren't you supposed to? Yeah, because that's true. Because aren't you supposed to say, like, if someone's showing you a house and if there is a murder there, like, you have to disclose.
I think right? so, yeah.
So, yeah.
Hey, yeah, would either of you buy a house that somebody was murdered in?
No.
One of my best friends, it's going to start dark, but the end is funny, I promise. So he lived in this condo building where he was renting from one of the units, and one of the neighbors committed suicide. And so my friend ended up buying that condo because he knew that it was going to be a low price. And he remodeled the whole thing. And the one room he had never gotten around remodeling was the bathroom where the guy shot himself. So the bullet hole is still in my friend's bathroom. And he keeps talking about, like, oh, I should probably fix up the bathroom. I'm like, why didn't you start with that room?
Ooh.
Were there, like, stains and stuff?
I imagine at the time there were. Yeah, that's been clean. But you could see the hole in his shower.
Ooh, that's macabre.
Yeah.
Ew.
I don't know if I'd buy a house with somebody. I might consider it. I don't know.
Well, no, but the energy would probably be, like, bad.
Oh,
like,
I mean, I would sage that motherfucker for days.
Right.
Yeah. Sage. Yeah.
You know, like, horrible mojo in that house.
Yeah.
But I bet it was probably really cheap. And we do live in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. Got a great deal on it. But I think it's darkly hilarious that, like, he remodeled the entire place except for the one room that really needed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. How big was the place?
It's a two-bedroom. It's probably about 1,100 square feet, maybe.
So you have to, like, come past the bathroom, like, you were close enough that you'd have to pass it, like, you couldn't avoid it.
Oh, like, never use that bathroom again?
Right.
It's the only bathroom, right?
Oh, and there's two bathrooms, but it's the one in the master bedroom.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Jeez.
Oh, so then Mike goes home, and Megan's following him, and then we see all of the old pictures, like, in a barbecue pit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then, okay, so this is where Megan's
messed up. It's just like a metal barbecue that you buy at Home Depot, and it's, like, sitting in the front there. And Mom was just burning the pictures.
Yeah, and if she really was burning the pictures, there wouldn't be any left. They'd burn to a crisp in, like, 5 seconds. So these have little tiny holes in them, like she put a cigarette out on it.
So then Mike catches her, and Mike starts yelling at her, and her and Mike are fighting. So this is where Megan broke the nosy person's rule.
Yeah, and less nosy as rules.
Here's the deal. Now, I'm very nosy, okay? As I've said before, I nosy, I snoop, I eavesdrop, I do it all, right? So part of the nosy person's code is you do not get caught when you're up to things. So as this is going on, Megan walks into the yard because they are fighting and they walk away from the barbecue pit.
Right.
So Megan, to get a closer look, walks into the yard. You never do that. You hide behind things. You hide behind trees. You hide behind the gate. You like.
Have you done that, Les? Have you ever been in a position where you were hiding behind things?
Of course. Of course.
We need to get into that some other time. That might be a special episode.
So Megan, like, goes up to the barbecue thing, right? And she's looking, and all of a sudden, we see a big hammer behind her head, and someone hits her in the head with a hammer, and she falls to the ground, and you expect to see Mike with a hammer in his hand, right?
Right.
No! It's his mother. And so then I wrote here once again, what? And then, so his mom gets on the phone, and his mom makes a phone call, and she's like, you know what, we need to get it together. They're on to us. And the phone call is to Jason. Jason's in on it too.
Yes.
Insane.
And so
red herrings.
So then we find out that she hired Jason to kill the dad, and he was only supposed to scare Carrie and Ella. He wasn't supposed to kill him. He was just there to scare him. But now he's going to have to kill him.
Right.
And so...
By the way, Mom called Jason on Megan's phone.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Really? Because, like, Megan was on the ground, like, had fallen, and, like, her phone was in her back pocket, and she pulled out the phone and was looking at text messages that Megan and Carrie had shared, and then she immediately calls Jason on Megan's phone to discuss how the plan is going awry.
Because then that is, you're right, because Jason's dumb, because then if it's an unknown number,
you wouldn't
pick up the phone.
Right. And she, like, and so not only does Jason pick up an unknown call, but, like, how does Megan's, or does Mike's mom, Eleanor, remember Jason's number off the top of her head and just dial it?
Well, she is older, so maybe.
She just has the number?
Back when, you know, you didn't have cell phones, when you had to remember phone numbers.
She memorized it. Yeah, she strikes me as the kind of person that would have a landline.
Because, like, if she had an affair with the dad, and the guys, like, and it turns out, like, they were in their 30s, she's got to be at least, like, 60-something.
Well, they said the dad was 70 years old, so she's probably right around that same age.
Yeah. Yeah, like, maybe a little younger, but not much.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so then Megan is, like, tied up on the ground.
Yeah. But first Jason arrives, so he starts arguing with the mom, and then, you know, they say, you know, the mom and the daughter have to go, and she says to Jason, you're a contractor, your friends recommended you. And I was like, yeah, that is how contractors work.
Well, there you go.
No matter what the situation is.
I fix a house, a hit.
Your friends recommended you. Okay. Please continue, because this gets good.
Okay, so then Megan's, like, tied up, right? And so then she's just laying there, and I wrote, no, you're supposed to pretend you're dead.
Yeah, because she starts moving her hands, like, wiggling her hands. To show she's
yeah.
Dead. Unless, have you, in your sneakiness, your sneaky career, have you ever been in a situation where you were tied up and you had to pretend you were dead?
No, but I've watched enough soap operas to know.
You would know what to do. Yeah. Okay, good.
I've been watching soap operas since I was like 4 years old. I know what to do. So then Megan, though, like, she unties herself and she gets, which I was impressed because this woman was just hit in the head with a hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but these people are resilient.
So she gets up, right? And she starts running, right? And she's running down the street and she's yelling, help, help.
And Eleanor and Mike just stare at her. Like, neither one of them tries to chase after. They're just like, oh, there she comes. I mean, Eleanor and Jason. Wouldn't you chase at, or at least look concerned? They're just like, no, there she goes.
They were just kind of surprised. Oh, well, we weren't expecting that.
She is fast. I was not expecting that.
Huh. Did we just hit her on the head?
Oh, and by the way,
did she get a running scholarship to college? Wow.
She's very pretty because she looked great after that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's great.
So then she's running down the street and she actually gets people's attention. Like, these two people were walking down the street and she gets their attention. And so then one of the people points.
This is so dumb.
This is not dumb at all.
This is an insult to our intelligence.
And then Megan gets hit by a truck.
Yeah. So stupid. It's so dumb.
Truck running down the street and she gets, like, run over by a vehicle that has nothing to do with any of the bad guys in this movie.
No.
Right.
She doesn't hear it. She's just running in the middle of the street. It's so dumb.
And the people didn't say, get out of the street. There's a truck behind you.
That shows you how helpful those people were going to be.
Oh, they were not helpful at all. None of them looked concerned about the fact that she was covered in blood from getting hit by a hammer.
Right.
No, I would just run. They were just keep running.
They were just pissed that she was going to impede with their Amazon delivery that was on the way.
Right. Wouldn't you be like, hey, get out of the street?
Or just truck.
Yeah. Or usually you can hear a truck when it's like right on your heels.
Well,
but
maybe she was hit in the ear.
Oh.
But then, okay,
oh,
so then
I don't know. That's
so then
that's
they show crap. Where she's on the gurney, and she still looks great. She looks beautiful.
You know, she's rocking it.
Look,
she's been hit in the head with a hammer. She's been hit by a truck, and she still looks fabulous.
Like this, I think you're right. This whole town is unbreakable. Like they get hit by fireballs and nothing.
That should be the twist. That should be the twist. Like these people are just an unbreakable colony. That's why they don't need the fire department or the EMTs, really.
Right. Oh, then okay. So the cops show up at the mom's house and they have a warrant, but she's still being bitchy to them anyway. And so then, this part cracked me up.
Oh, where she makes the call?
Yeah.
Yes.
This was great.
She called into work, right? And she's like,
she calls the hospital.
She calls it because she's a nurse, right? So she calls into the hospital. She's like, hey, you know, I might be a little late today. And then she's like, by the way, were there any interesting cases that came in today? And then the coworker's like, oh, yeah, this woman just was brought in and she was hit by a truck. And then the mom's like, oh, is she dead?
Well, first she says, did anyone enter the morgue? Did anyone enter the ER or the morgue? Yeah. Or?
And then, oh,
any new medical school cadavers? Because my nephew's in medical school. I was just wondering if any, there's a higher stock now.
So then we're back at the house, and Jason's tucking Carrie into bed.
Oh, by the way, we find out that Megan did not die.
No, she's alive.
The person on the other line said, oh, it was touch and go there for a bit, but like, no, she's actually going to pull through, and the mom is not happy about that.
No.
Right.
She's got straight to work.
She still did not. You cannot kill Megan. Megan will not go down. No.
Well, you can kill some of these people, but some of them, no.
Oh, so then Jason's tucking Carrie into bed.
Aw.
And so he's talking about Steph. No, what did he say about, like, because he messed up. What did he say?
He said
he's an only child.
Yeah, said something about being an only child, and Carrie's like, I thought you had a niece.
Ooh. And then he was like, oh, it's my stepbrother's.
Yeah.
Daughter.
What a dumb answer. What I would have said was, oh, it's my best friend's daughter, and she considers me her uncle.
Yeah.
Now,
somebody would have bought that.
Now, this is, I was actually kind of impressed with Carrie because she started to get suspicious. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't just take it.
Right.
But then, like, Jason, like, you know, go to sleep now, and he, like, locked her in her room. And
yeah, I wanted to know when, like, how did Carrie not notice that the locks had been switched where they were on the outside of the door? When did that happen?
Right. Oh, that's right, because remember he bought her coffee and he had new locks.
Well, yeah, like her door was normal and he locked it somehow or jammed it, but the daughter's, like, the lock was on the outside of the door. How did Carrie not notice that?
Yeah, no, you're right. Totally right. So then he goes down to the basement, and what was it? Was it like the water heater or what?
I'm not sure.
It looked like a water heater.
I don't know what it was. Was it?
It looked like a water heater, but again, it was like something with gas. He started some sort of fire that was billowing smoke into their rooms.
So it was like they're going to die of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
And so then, meanwhile, Mike comes home, and his mom's like, the cops were looking for you. And he's like, you know, they think that you killed William, which is the dad. Mm-hmm. And then the mom is like, she said something like he lied or something.
Basically Mike's like, why do they think I killed him? Like Mike, we basically find out that Mike is not in on this plan at all and has no idea why people would think he killed the dad.
And he's a good guy.
And so she's like, well, they think you killed her because you think they think you killed him because of the money and he lied anyway because we were supposed to get half, and then at the last minute, he changed his will, and then we find out Mike is like, well, the reason why he changed his will is because when I found out that Carrie was getting divorced from her husband, I told him to change the will because now that she was going to be a single parent, she needed the money more than I did. So I'm the one that told him to do that.
And nice of him. Nice of him, but she still would have gotten, well, I don't know how much that house was worth, but.
And then I was like, oh, Mike.
She would have gotten something.
Yeah. I mean, Mike's really nice.
Mike's good. Maybe a little too nice.
That is nice, but also, that would, I feel like that would have more resonance that he did that if she, like, didn't have a career. Like, she had these best-selling children's books. She probably made good money on her own.
But then remember, Mike wasn't too bright.
No.
He's not too bright at all.
No.
Right.
No. So then Carrie's, like, sitting in bed.
One more thing is when Mike is having this revelation with his mom, the mom is like yelling. She's like, the mom really wanted the house. And she's like, This way, if, when we get that house, people won't, we won't seem like trash to people anymore. Their house was beautiful too. They had a really big house.
Yes. It was a nice house.
It was gated. It was actually probably nicer than the other house.
Yes.
I'll have to take another look at that house.
Yeah, it was not a bad house at all.
No. People think we're trash.
It's bigger than the house I live in. It was like, it was not a bad house. And like even on the inside, the furniture was nice. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she's a nurse. Nurses make decent money.
For sure.
Yeah.
Nurses make good money, actually.
Right, yeah.
So then Carrie's in bed and she's starting to try to put two and two together with Jason. Yeah. And she's like really suspicious, right? Mm-hmm. And then the mean mom gets a call and it's Jason. And so Ella wakes up. And she sees smoke, and then she goes to get out of the room, and she's locked in the room, right?
Yeah.
And then, the evil mom, like, has her monologue. Like, I'm getting what I deserve. All of this was supposed to be mine.
I win.
And then the smoke alarm goes off in the house, right? And then Jason is watching the house. And then Carrie picks up a golf club. And this golf club is a very strong, powerful golf club.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, she's...
Because...
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, I was going to point out that she's using it to, like, try and bang the doorknob open, which I get and I appreciate. And, like, mom's trying to get to Ella, but, like, they're inhaling all this smoke and it's getting bad. Why don't they just open a fucking window?
True.
That's true, yeah.
True.
At the very, you know, in the long term, yes, if the house is on fire, that's bad. But in the short term, you're breathing in smoke. Open a window. Let the smoke out.
Right, because there was no fire. It was just smoke.
Right.
Yeah.
So then Mike grabs his mom and Mike is like, I want my sister in my life. And then the mom calls Jason and the mom's like, don't hurt Mike. You know, whatever you do, don't hurt Mike. And by the way, I got something I need to take care of. Yeah. And so the mom's on her way to the hospital to kill Megan.
Yeah.
So then Carrie gets out of the room. She gets Ella. They're locked in the house. But, you know, the golf club, she knocks down shit, and they get out of the house.
Whoa.
This golf. Thank God she played golf.
Wait, she's banging the golf club against the doorknob. Like, they're on the bottom floor at this point.
Here's...
Again, break a fucking window.
Yeah.
Open a window. Like, there is even some, like, when she's trying at the front door, you could see the front, the window at the front right next to the door. It's right there. And then they go to the back door. The back door has glass in it that she could break. But again, she's just aiming for the handle.
Smashes through that door. Here's dummy.
But they end up getting out of the house. Thank God. But then the mean mom goes to the hospital. And Mike calls the cops, right? And Mike is like, you know, got to go to Carrie's house because she's in danger. And then my mom is going to go to the hospital and Megan's in danger too. So you got to take care of both of them. So she goes to Megan's room. Megan still looks great, right? Mm-hmm. And she's lying. She's in her bed sleeping. And
it's that flight attendant thing. Like, she's got to look good on, like, a 12-hour flight. So right. she knows how to keep it together.
So then Mike goes to the house, and Carrie and Ella, of course, are scared because he's like, hey, I'm here to save you. And they're scared because they're like, wait, no. He's trying to kill us. And so then they get out of the house, and then Jason shows up, and then Carrie's like, wait a minute, this was you the whole time. And then Jason, I love it, Jason's like, why couldn't you just die?
We said that to Mike, right? Because you've got Mike on one side of Carinella and Jason on the other side of him. And it was great staging of that. It was really right? fun.
And so then Jason's like, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to make it quick. And then Carrie takes her golf club and it hits him in the head. Mm-hmm. And so he goes down. But remember, this is a Lifetime movie and nobody in this town could die. So Jason gets right back up. But then Michael saves the day. And after he, like, puts Jason down, Mike says, nobody messes with my family.
Yeah. What about his mom?
Now, meanwhile, family. Mom is at the hospital, and Mom is going to smother Megan, right? She gets a pillow. She goes to the room. She gets a pillow. Megan wakes up, right? Mm-hmm. And then she puts the pillow on Megan's face, and she's smothering Megan, and the machines are going crazy, and they're making it look like they're showing Megan's feet like she's starting to, like, lose life, mm-hmm. and she's not fighting so much.
That's a pretty big room for a private hospital room. You usually don't get a room like that.
Yeah, but everyone in the town is unbreakable, so the hospital probably isn't heavily populated. Right.
She's the only person in it, right?
Yeah,
we have a lot of extra room here. It was a huge hospital too.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, so then the cops show up and they knock the mean mom to the ground, and the mean mom has, like, the picture of Carrie in high school.
It's the burned one that Megan had stolen off of the grill.
Of the grill, yeah.
And the mom's like, take your hands off me. And it's like, you just tried to smother somebody with a pillow.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think you've got no rights here.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the next scene, the sun is shining. They're the house.
There's peace.
They're in the backyard. Ella and Megan are playing with a puppy. Like, they got mm-hmm. a new puppy. Mike is there. Mike is sitting in the backyard.
Megan's not creeped up by Mike anymore, I guess.
No.
Mike looks different. Mike looks different now. He doesn't look so creepy.
Right. And they're playing with a puppy, and Mike and Carrie are like, oh, you know, we're going to get to know each other. And Carrie's like, I'm so happy I have a brother. And then Carrie writes a book.
And in the book are there fireballs and people being smothered by pillows and all this stuff is happening in the kid's book. I had to keep it honest.
The end.
What? The only thing I didn't like about this movie, and I loved so much about this movie, the only thing I didn't like is that at the end, they're all, like, I granted it was a MacGuffin to make us think that Mike was going to be the bad guy and he was the murderer, but,
right.
You know, and now he's Carrie's brother and we're all, it's all happy family. They completely ignore his serious rage issues earlier in the movie.
Right, exactly.
They just kind of brush that right under that fire burnt rug. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You know, and the special thanks, Casper Van Dien and his wife are mentioned. So I don't know what they had to do with this.
Oh.
That's right.
I read all the credits.
Casper Van Dien did what?
He was listed in the special thanks for this movie.
I wonder if they like filmed in his house or something. Because I think he does a lot of Lifetime movies, doesn't he?
And Casper Oxenberg?
There was somebody else who with his last name. There was another Van Dien.
Oh.
Listen, well, special thanks.
Okay. So this was the first movie of the year, and this one's going to be a tough act to follow.
We're starting the year off with a bang. Fireball.
Oh, my God. I have never laughed so hard watching a movie for this podcast ever.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
And, yeah, this was great.
Yeah.
And the thing I think that made it the best is it was the fun. This movie could have easily been a shit show. Like, easily.
It leaned into being a shit show. Like, the makers of this movie, and we thought this about a lot of Lifetime movies, but this one really, like, it wore it on its sleeve. It's like, you know what? This is just pure guilty pleasure entertainment. Let's just have fun. And they did.
Right, right. Just, yeah, the fact that they didn't pretend that it was anything else.
All I know is I did a TV pilot a year or so ago, and we had, like, no budget for special effects, and I had fake fire explosions in the movie that looked like that. And it's like, right. if I had a budget, I'd be embarrassed to have something like that.
Right, because it's kind of like, they're like, you know what channel you're watching.
Yeah.
You know what channel you're watching. You know what you're getting. We know why you're here. So we need to give it to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Slow clap for Lifetime. Kudos.
I'm exhausted.
Wow. That was quite.
Well, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Before we go, do you guys have any, like, New Year's resolutions or anything?
Just live a healthy life.
Watch more movies like this.
Well, my resolution for the podcast is I want to, like, take it up a notch, you know, and just really have a good time and really take the podcast to the next level. And I think we're starting out pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. I want to look into that. Yeah, I had like a little TV idea. I'm going to write that down so I don't forget that. Okay, good. Okay. Yes.
Well.
A little sneak preview.
Well, if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or you could, if you want to find out more about the podcast, we have a Facebook group, a Lifetime of Hallmark podcast, or you can find us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark. Jason?
Instagram or Lifetime of Hallmark podcast.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yes. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt?
I'm going to update my site, I've decided. Yay. So by the time you look at it, KurtFitzpatrick.com, I'll put some new stuff up there.
Yes, and if you like what you've heard, and whatever platform you're listening to us on, please give us a 5-star review. We would love that. Also, if you have any movie suggestions, we are very open to movie suggestions. And like one of the best movies that we saw last year actually was a listener suggestion. So please feel free to suggest movies for us, and we will watch them. And actually, anything else?
I don't know how we're going to follow this up with a Hallmark movie next week, but we are going to.
Oh, God. I know, right?
That was fun.
And I recorded this movie, like, right after watching it. I mean, I recorded the podcast right after watching the movie. So I think I need to lie down for, like a half an hour.
I'm going out now, actually, so I got to kick going.
All right. Well, okay. So then I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
All right.
Bye.